filling in for Mitch Fortner here today on the show. A lot to talk about in hour two. If you missed any of Chris Lowry joining us to start the show, we'll play some of that back in our next segment at 5:25. He answered the question, has K-State heard anything for the Big 12 about the travel issue last night from Svi Mykhailiuk on his way to the basket for the game winner in the 90-88 win for Kansas over the Wildcats inside Allen Fieldhouse. Continue to tweet us, the game KMAN, if you've got questions or comments. You can also give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. If you want to chime in on everything that happened, if you want to try and make me laugh, whatever it is that is on your mind, I'm totally accepting all, any and all, traveling jokes, speed jokes, Allen Fieldhouse jokes, whatever it is you want to get off your chest. I always find the best way to vent in frustrating situations like these is typically to try and find humor in the situation. I have a hard time staying serious a lot of my life. I like to laugh, like to engage in these types of things. And honestly, this is when social media, I think, is great. There are times when it's bad. I think in some ways this is when it's great because so many people come at it in different angles with the funny tweets and everything here. And by the way, later on this segment, we're going to get to why, in a lot of ways, what happened last night was exactly what Bruce Weber needed for the rest of this season and potentially even moving forward. But did you see what Elijah Lee, K-State linebacker?
Yeah. Yeah, looked like Jesse Ertz, how he steps into the end zone.
Yeah, I said he took steps like at J. Cisco 16 does high-stepping into the end zone. Ertz does do that. He likes to He likes the little high-step into the end zone.
Yeah.
That was fairly I'd say Mykhailiuk, it was fairly similar in the way that it looked.
He was just missing a punishing stiff arm of a K-State player on his way to the basket.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing that he didn't quite get there, if he would have, like, pushed off a little bit, then it would have been the perfect Jesse Ertz impersonation. Fran Fraschilla, who had the call, obviously, last night, he's been getting in on the fun as well, I think. It seems like on Twitter he's been trying to, like, please both sides, really. But he did fire this one off today. The endorsement opportunities are starting to roll in for Svi. Travelocity just called.
He did say,
Not terrible. And by the way, I tried to get Fran on the show today. I was actually able to get a hold of him via text, but he legitimately is battling laryngitis, as you could probably hear there, so literally can't really talk. Could not talk to give us some perspective on everything last night.
Yeah, he didn't want any part of that game going into overtime because he didn't have any voice left for overtime.
Well, that is true, and that was a tough situation for ESPN. It was supposed to be Miles Simon. His father, I believe, passed away, and then He had laryngitis with Fran Fraschilla last night, so that's certainly made things interesting as far as that is concerned. 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Before we get into why what happened last night was about the best thing that could happen for Bruce Weber, sans obviously winning the game, let's hear what Larry from Manhattan has to say. Your thoughts on the final shot there from Dean Wade, Larry?
Well, I got a comment. First of all, congratulations to K-State for a great effort. Great kids just played great. I hope they go away knowing that they can beat anybody in our league from that. And I hope they just keep on putting forth the effort. They were really focused. My comment is on, was Dean Wade's shot, was that a called play?
So basically the explanation after the game is that they got the ball in Wesley Wundu's hands and Dean Wade was going to screen for him, roll off and flash to the three-point line, and the option there is for Wesley Wundu to either drive or, depending on how they play it, which Kansas messed up the switch on the screen, you can have Dean Wade there as an option too. So it's basically Wes and Dean were the two primary options there. Could have gone one of two ways.
Yeah, you know, I understand that. You know, my comment is on in the last minute or two when you have a situation like that, I just I really cringe at running a set play. Because it just stops the momentum, it stops the energy. I mean, you can call a timeout maybe two or three minutes and lay out, you know, what to do if such and such happens. But to break the momentum and run a set, I just don't ever see the set play ever working that much. I don't know that it works better than 50% of the time. But even a drive to the bucket, there's three good things that can happen. You can draw a foul. You can draw the foul and make the bucket. You can make the bucket, you know, and one bad thing, you miss. But on a three-point shot, you either miss or you make, you know. And I don't know. The set play thing just really bothers me sometimes. Just stopping the momentum and stopping what they were playing so good. It just seems like it broke something up.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Larry, and I appreciate the phone call. I mean, I would say this. I think we're going to disagree somewhat there. I thought it was a very good move, and I think the drive to the basket was really, that's the main idea, but Kansas opted basically with the way that they wound up playing that with Jackson not switching on the screen. I mean, you have two guys going with Wesley Iwundu and nobody on Dean Wade, so he's not able to then drive the basketball, and you got a wide open look for three from the guy who scored more points than anybody last night in Dean Wade, who can certainly knock down a straight on three. So I have a hard time really faulting too much there. And if I recall correctly, when they did call a timeout right before, Wesley Iwundu had been kind of holding the basketball and having to really he had a defender right on his back near midcourt. I mean, I felt like the timeout was fine. I see what you're saying, and I think it's really in reference to a lot of times when a team brings the ball down the floor, you got a chance for a last shot. There is sometimes that debate of do you stop it or do you just let the momentum play through. I really didn't have a problem with it, especially with the way that it worked out. To me, it's just a classic case of diagnosed a pretty good play there, drew something up nice, you got the look that you wanted. Wesley Iwundu said as much after the game. It just didn't go down.
I would add in that, number one, based on what we saw in the final few seconds there, what's the likelihood that the officials are actually going to call a foul with 6 seconds left as you drive to the basket? I would say pretty darn small in that building, unless you're wearing Kansas on your jersey. The other part of that, by setting up a set play, as part of that, you can also say, okay, here's what we want to do defensively if this happens or if this happens. If you just go ahead and play it out, you could be totally out of position, and that layup from Svi may have come a whole lot easier, and you never know what would happen in that case.
I guess final thought here, Larry, I would say that I think in general, if your take wants to be in last-second shot situation, I'd rather see things play out, not take a timeout, not go with a set play. I'm fine if that's your opinion in general. I just think if you're going to look at this, you know, through the lens of just that play last night, I think it worked out pretty well. So that's where I would really leave that discussion. But certainly appreciate the phone call. Questions or comments, welcome at the game, KMAN as well. You know, big picture here, I think, you know, we talked last hour about how this season really needed the shot of momentum and just the juice. I'm just going to call it the juice, the excitement of what last night brought, the excitement and passion that really spilled over all over the place from the fans. I think that extends to not just the season needed it, but Bruce Weber needed it. You know, I've said since the Brad Underwood thing happened and he went to Oklahoma State and people got so up in arms about that, I was surprised at the time with how many fans that seemingly were at least on the fence but maybe somewhat leaning towards being fine with the direction of the program and being pretty pro Bruce Weber really started to turn there because people were so upset that a guy like Brad Underwood that was as hot a commodity as he was didn't come here, his alma mater, and goes to a Big 12 rival in Oklahoma State. I think what happened last night was not only did Bruce Weber have his team prove that they're pretty good by playing with a really good team, they played really well in a place that K-State never plays well. They displayed about as much toughness as I think I've seen from Bruce Weber team in any game since he has been here as K-State's head coach. And then on top of all that, you sprinkle in the extra ingredient, which is the one common bond, the common tie that holds together seemingly every K-State fan, whether they're pro this coaching staff right now or anti this coaching staff or somewhere in between, is a big-time hatred for Kansas. And when you see the team put together all those traits I just listed off and play as well as they did and have it be ripped away at the end because of a bad call in Allen Fieldhouse, that's the type of thing that, as crazy as it sounds, will unite people in hate and anger and get them behind the guy who's leading the charge, which in this case is Bruce Weber. And I'm not saying that's going to happen for everybody, but I think that will happen with some. And I think this helps. You know, Brad Underwood's, after the hot start to the non-conference schedule, not off to the best of starts after that loss in Big 12 play, he's cooled off here a little bit. You're not hearing as much talk about that. And now K-State steps to the forefront with their effort in Allen Fieldhouse, and you get the fans to have a common theme here to be angry and upset with. And I think those two play hand in hand, the excitement for the season and now a little bit of extra help for the popular opinion of Bruce Weber.
Last Friday night, K-State played Texas in front of about a 90 or 95% full Bramlage Coliseum, and that actually surprised me a little bit. I thought the fans turned out a little better than I expected. But now, with what happened last night and how much this team is being talked about, wouldn't you expect Saturday against Oklahoma for Bramlage to be just about, you know, every seat full with more and more, you know, students are going to be coming back into town, everything like that? I think that Bramlage should be back to being maybe the second or third most intimidating atmosphere in the Big 12 for the rest of this season. And that in itself goes a long way toward getting K-State to the NCAA tournament, because you know that you got to go at least 6-3 or 7-2 to make up for whatever struggles you may have on the road.
I think for sure for the next couple of home games, you've got the juice right now, and you're going to get it from your fans at Bramlage. You can't be losing those games now.
Right.
You got to start to actually string together some wins here and continue that excitement. You're going to have to parlay this, but you've been given a really nice head start here if you can keep it going. That's the way I would address that. You know, I have been surprised, even as much as I know. Look, if there's one thing that I know about this fan base, and you hear me say this all the time, you get a little mad. Look, I completely understand it. I've been there in my life. I grew up in Kansas City. I hated all the Kansas fans that were around me all the time. I fought that battle every day. But there is somewhat of an inferiority complex going on there, and I understand where it comes from and how much people really hate Kansas. Even still, I've been surprised at just how far-reaching everything was last night. I'm not going to name names, but two of the biggest guys that I know, friends that I have that have not been happy with the direction the basketball program is going, they abandoned all that last night. They were as into that game as I have seen or felt them be about a game in a long time. And all their feelings today are about the how justice was not done last night with the officiating at Allen Fieldhouse. And I think it brought them a little bit closer to actually being back emotionally invested in this team. Whereas I had sensed and seen, felt, heard, whatever, a lot of apathy from them on the basketball front until last night. And that, to me, is the personal example of the big picture that I'm trying to say here. I think Bruce Weber probably gained a few more supporters with what happened.
Well, and a big part of that is the fact that this K-State basketball team is fun. You know, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing to say a team is good and a team is fun. You could absolutely say that the K-State football team was not particularly fun, at least in the way that they play, but they're good. But with the K-State basketball program, they had fallen off to a level where to win some of these people back, you not only have to be good, you have to be fun. And this K-State basketball team is fun. They've got, I mean, you look at last night, they have five double-figure scorers, and any one of those guys could be your leading scorer on any given night. You absolutely have a team that is capable of making five or six three-pointers in a row and going on one of those 19-1 runs that we've seen in a lot of these games. This is a fun team that I think is winning back some of the fans just because of the style of basketball that they play.
I would agree with you there. You know, I think last year's team, we all recognized that they were better than we thought they were, and you could recognize the effort that was there and that they played pretty well together. They didn't have the talent level that this team has. This team's got more talent. This team plays simply better, and they are more fun to watch, and you combine that with the effort and the way that they share the basketball and seem to play together, and it creates, yes, a much more enjoyable thing to get behind. But that magic ingredient, you know, that could all be there as the cake, but the icing that really takes it over the top and makes it great, makes people want to eat it up. That's that Kansas hatred, man. That's that getting upset at calls in Allen Fieldhouse. Is there anything we like more around here than complaining about calls in Allen Fieldhouse during basketball season? Out of all your tweets that you fire off during basketball season in a given year, do you get more response from anything other than making fun of the officiating at Allen Fieldhouse?
Not even close.
Exactly.
Not even close.
Exactly.
But see, and that's part of it, is that K-State fans have this complex with KU, and last night it all came full circle because KU fans have a complex with other fans saying that they get the calls in their house. Last night it all came together.
You know, you're onto something there, and we talked about this before the show. When we come back, we're going to replay some of the Chris Lowry conversation, K-State associate head coach, if you missed that. He was still, I think, fairly fired up about everything when we talked to him at the beginning of the show. But I'm also going to give you the best take that I saw from anybody in the aftermath of what happened at Allen Fieldhouse last night. It didn't come from me. I won't lay claim to it, but I'll tell you what it is here on The Game.